I believe in God, creator of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The devil is hiding today, as he will, both in the epistle and in the gospel, as in life. There's so much else going on, we barely notice him. But there he is, tucked into a verse in St. Paul's great autobiographical epistle. As he talks about his sufferings, there was given to me a sting of my flesh, an angel of Satan to buffet me. And in the gospel, why, we see him faithfully going about his daily rounds. The devil cometh and taketh the word out of their heart, lest believing they should be saved. When it comes to why the word of God, the teaching of Christ, has ever borne much fruit in the hearts of men, for lo, these 2,000 years of Christianity, why is there so much sin and thus suffering, all that hurt and all of that hell? And so many of us really are Christian when you get down to it. The atheistic world, with an increasingly strident voice, will say, see, it's religion. Get rid of religion and everything will be just fine. You'll see. But our Lord says, first of all, it's the temptation of ourselves, of the flesh. We tempt ourselves from the inside. And then from the outside, there's that powerful pull of pleasures and of riches. Now, this is all self-evident. You merely have to think and observe yourself. But the third reason why is one whose answer is ignored or mocked or certainly questioned. Because who believes, aside from maybe a moment in a movie or story, a TV show, or on a Christmas card, who believes in angels and demons, let alone their intervention in human affairs? And yet, that other world is just as real, though it be invisible, as that which we actually do see. As we profess in the Nicene Creed, creator of all things, Almighty God, visible and invisible. So, who are angels, pure spirits, made by God, and they are most like to God because of their simplicity. They have no bodies. They're pure spirits. A spirit, Scripture says, hath not flesh and bones. When angels or devils appear to people, they often will take a human form or some visible shape. Why did God create the angels and when? He created them before men for his greater honor and glory, for our assistance and protection. Like us, they had to have a test, a choice on their part, whether or not they would serve God, and that's the drama that brings us demons. Close to half of the angels fell into hell. But God made them with great power and knowledge. Angels can't read your mind, but they are so intelligent, far more than we, that putting two and two together, most of the time they simply, devils too, can draw the logical conclusion as to what we are thinking. And angels talk among themselves. St. Paul next week speaks about the language of angels. They have a way of communication. And their knowledge in general is so far superior to that of men, and they certainly know what is going on in the world and all around the world. Well, why do we depict angels with wings? Just a symbolism. a way of saying that they travel and travel by air very, very fast from one place to another. They're often portrayed, too, as small children, which is okay in a sense because they are innocent, sinless, and they love innocence. They're drawn to little children. And I suppose animals, too, for that reason, right? But on the other hand, angels are such great, magnificent beings. When they appear to us, they have to dial it back, their glory or their refulgence, or we would just be overwhelmed. We would die, actually, to see an angel as such. So their beauty and their glory surpass our understanding. Are there very many angels? As many, says Dennis the Areopagite, as there are sands on the seashore. Millions of angels, then, are created by Almighty God. They are divided, this is the common teaching, into nine groups or choirs. Choirs because they all sing, and like our choir, they sing beautifully the glory of God. And so you start the bottom ring, that's angels and archangels for important messages and thrones, and then come dominations and principalities and powers, and then last of all, the virtues, the cherubim. The cherubim are known for extraordinary knowledge, and then the highest, the closest to the throne of God are the seraphim, and they're known for their immense love of Almighty God. Just as in material creation, there's all this color and there's all this difference, and no two human beings are exactly alike, so too it is with the angels. Each angel is his own nature, and there is a magnificent strength and glory and variety amongst them. And St. Michael, of course, is the chief of the angels. We give him the honorary title of archangels, meaning that he's over all the nine choirs of angels. However, we also know of the archangel Gabriel and of Raphael, and some refer to a fourth as Uriel. What ministries do the angels perform for us? By their name in the Greek, they are messengers. They bring messages from God, holy thoughts and inspirations. They ward off dangers of body and soul. They're protectors. At the same time, the angels are presenters. They present our prayers before the throne of the Most High, and they help us in doing more intellectual things, especially study, as well as work. So the scripture says in the Psalms, "He hath given his angels charge over thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." We are protected by our angels. Angels even, you read this in the book of Daniel, angels even brought food to those in need, particularly Habakkuk was carried by an angel to Daniel in the lion's den. So therefore I'm thinking that if you participate in our Cucina Clerical and you bring us something to eat, you are doing as well, you, the work of angels. Each one of us, we know this very well, has a guardian angel. This is taught only by the ordinary magisterium of the church that so many deny or even laugh at. But who would deny his guardian angel? I say unto you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. In times of pestilence and disease, it's traditional and very efficacious to pray to the angels for protection. So many of the lives of the saints are full of stories of angels. Think of the patroness of night vision. Her feast is in March, St. Francis of Rome. She saw her angel guardian most of the time. He glowed so much so that when they walked together at night, she could see, even though there were no street lights in the city, it was perfectly dark. She saw once, too, a priest approach them, and she saw her angel step aside to let the priest pass first. St. Francis's angel punished her, however, for the slightest infraction of Almighty God's law. So angels do that as well. What are demons? They're angels who rebelled against God, who said, I will not serve, and therefore were cast into hell by great Michael. The sin of the angels was that of pride. Remember, there is no forgiveness for angels, unlike for us, because angels have no erasers on their pencils. That is to say, they make no mistakes. They never miscalculate. They never have a bad day. Nothing that could possibly excuse us would ever work for an angel. Saint Gemma Galgani is another and an important example of saints. We've been speaking about her lately, of saints who could both see their angels. She loved her guardian angel and sometimes spent a long time talking to him. And once the angel wanted to leave, probably to do other things or get a little rest, and she made him stay longer. She just enjoyed his company so much. But at the same time, this saint and mystic who had the stigmata, they say, was obsessed or maybe even for a short time possessed by the devil and forced by the devil to say blasphemies. But that's a good example of how possession works. It's on the outside. The devil can never make us sin. He just takes possession of our faculties. But she asked for and received an exorcism to banish that demon. They were once so beautiful, those angels, but they changed themselves into something vile and ugly. How? By mortal sin. Fear, mortal sin. So do evil spirits try to injure men? Indeed, they do. Sometimes to injure us in body, sometimes even to infest and trouble us that way. Although demons are constantly working to tempt us, we must not make the mistake of thinking that all temptation comes from the devil. No, sometimes we do the devil's work for him rather well in a given day. Although demons do their part to tempt us, nevertheless, Almighty God is more powerful than all of them, and all of them put together. The fact that there are so many possessions today, especially in formerly Christian lands, goes to speak to the fact of faith going down, down, down. In the old days, it was not so. Diabolic possession is becoming a reality, if not of daily life, at least a reality in our world. The devil sometimes tries to appear as an angel of light, or as a saint, or even as our Lord, in order to deceive people. But nevertheless, there's always something about him that gives him away. Other times the devil appears as a monster or a wild animal or as a huge dog of some sort. The Curia of ours and St. Nicholas of Tolentino were beaten regularly by evil spirits. And St. Sylvester of Montefano, the Benedictine abbot, was pushed down the stairs just out of the sheer envy and hatred of Satan. Did you know two interesting things about the devil? Some say that as we have a guardian angel, we also have a guardian devil who is assigned to us at birth and who is with us at all times to do us damage and to get us to sin. Also, just as an angel couldn't really show himself to you or you would die, so too the devil is restrained by God. If the devil used all of his angelic powers to get you to sin, they say that you would. You just wouldn't be able to resist. But Almighty God has made that it should not be so. For the rest, how do we resist? Why, it's by watchfulness and by prayer, by trust in God, devotion to the angels, praying to them, and by the sacraments. He's all the time going about seeking someone to devour, but one Hail Mary, the holy name, a little holy water, have holy water, use holy water, your scapular, the blessed medals, the St. Benedict medal, the Magnificat are all powerful protections for us. Today, what should be your takeaway from this catechism sermon? You may have learned one or two things new, but we all know about angels and devils. As we go about our business, our work, especially our salvation, a good thing, what a consolation, we have a powerful protector, and he is as well a good friend of ours, your guardian angel. Remember him. It's like having your own personal assistant, your own PA. In the old days, it would be a butler or a servant. He doesn't mind. He's your bodyguard as well. He's for tech assistance 24/7. And you don't have to go through India or something like that and wait on the line for a long time to get it. He's right there. You just have to ask him. And yet we forget and we smile and we think, well, angels, that's just for children. No, they are real, that world of the invisible. And they are all for God's greater honor and glory, like angels. Did you know that even devils are forced to promote God's glory? How is that? This is something, too, we don't see, but in which we must indeed believe. The devils turn all of their attacks on us, but God turns them all to his glory and to our prophet. The great German author Goethe, he rightly describes Satan as a power that always wills evil but brings about good. That's the invisible part. Stay with God. Stay with your angel and ask him to help you to see this too. God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.